Preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. We've had some weeks off because of different things. And then last week, Caleb, one of our college students, preached. He did leave yesterday to head back to college and continue to pray for him. I talked to Isaac a lot this last week and just continue to pray for Isaac. He's doing well. He's getting ready for his wedding coming up this summer. And so do lift him up in prayer as well. 1 Corinthians 9 is, we're going to be getting in verses 15 to 23. But leading up to this, remember, Paul gave them a principle in chapter 8 of don't be a stumbling block. And the principle was this, that many of them thought it was okay for them to eat meat, but there were some that were weaker that it bothered them. And it caused them to stumble, it caused them to fall. And Paul said this, even though you had the rights to do so, and Paul agreed with them, it's just meat. It's those things. It doesn't become the gods. And we went through that. Just because you have the right to do so doesn't mean you do it. So we talked about that. Then he went in and he says, let me illustrate this for you. Paul gave some examples of the farmer and of the soldier and of himself saying, I have the rights to take a salary. I have the rights to take pay. I have the rights, but I'm not going to take the rights. I'm not going to do this. And he's illustrating the point there. He says, I have the rights to do this. And he gave all those reasons. He gave six reasons why. He talked about being an apostle, talked about being free. He went through and he gave those illustrations. I have all the rights to claim this. Now, he was supported by churches that he left, but while he was at the church, he was not supported by those churches. And now he's going to give, and we're going to look in chapter 9, the reasons why Paul said, I'm not taking this. And he says, you're not wrong to take it. It's right to take it because even God's law says it's good to take care of God's man. It's okay to do those things. But because of this situation and because where I'm at, it's best that I don't. Because Paul was trying to get him to understand this thought that's repeated again in verse 15, that even though he has the Christian liberty to do so, love limits his Christian liberty. Love for the brothers and sisters in Christ, love for the unsaved, love for this world limits his Christian liberty. That means he puts himself a back seat to everybody else because his love for them and his love for God and his love for the church limits what he has the right to do. He's going to give the reasons why. Now, in this portion of Scripture, he says he'd rather be a dead man than to be a prophet for hire. It's interesting. Back in that day, Balaam was a prophet for hire. We have a day and age where it's not, there's a difference between taking care of God's man and a preacher being for hire. Okay, what is a preacher for hire? It's just because Tina Smith gives $3 million to church. You're going to do that tomorrow, right, Tina? And I wish she had it, right? $3 million to the church does not mean that she hires me. All right? That's a prophet for hire. That's a person that is just because you gave a big amount of money to a church that the church does what you want it to do. This is what this is talking about. And Paul didn't want, in that day and age, that's what was happening. And with Balaam and with other things, is as long as they paid their money, they could dictate what took place, what happened. And that's why Paul was so careful, because he did not want to be looked at as those other individuals. Today, we have, and not all TV evangelists are bad, don't get me wrong, but we have some TV evangelists and they're for hire. Why? Because they'll preach what the people want as long as the people give, right? We'll preach a message. We'll change our message. We'll tailor our message to make you happy so you give more. This is what Paul was addressing. And now he's going to give these reasons why here. If you're able to, please stand with me. We'll read from verse 15 to verse 23 of our text this morning. But I have used none of these things, neither have written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For the necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you illuminate your scriptures this morning. Lord, help us to understand the truths you want us to learn. And Lord, help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. The reasons why. Paul says, the reasons why I'm not taking what is owed to me, what I have the liberty to take, he says, for I preach the gospel. Now, I want you to understand, the reason why is found in verse 15 and verse 16 in this idea of him preaching the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For if it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. He says, I have not told you this, so you will have pity on me. I have not told you this, so you can see what a spiritual giant I am. Paul wanted them to understand the reason he gave this to them and the reason he was not taking the charge, the money, charging for the gospel, was because he was preaching the gospel. And we're going to see what he meant by preaching the gospel. He understood his obligation to the gospel and what God called him to do, and his heart was sold out for that. He says, but I'm not giving you these reasons. I'm not telling you this so I can somehow boast about myself. I'm no way telling you this, so somehow, some way that you say, oh, we got to start giving to the pastor. Now, I want to say this morning. One of the hardest things for any preacher to talk about is money. I'll be honest. Why? Because soon as we talk about money, what do people associate, even in the church and outside the church? That money-grubbing pastor. That money grabbing church. All they talk about is money. All they want is Brian's money. And they come to Brian and say, Brian, come on, give me your money, buddy. And that, but you know what I mean. We laugh about that, but isn't that true? Haven't you heard people in this world that say this? And this is what the kind of the idea, what Paul was addressing and Paul was saying is, hey, I'm doing this, and this is why I'm doing this, because I don't want people to put me with a group that is all about money. Let me tell you, yes, God wants us to give. God needs our giving in the sense, but he doesn't need our money. What do you mean? He needs our giving, he doesn't need our money. He needs our giving because that has to do with our heart. And he wants our surrendered heart to him. Dino has nothing to do with how much money you put in the plate. It has to do with your heart. It has nothing to do with if you give millions of dollars, if you give thousands of dollars, if you give hundreds of dollars, it has to do with your heart. It has to do with that. That's why the widow's mite and the other examples in Scripture, it was a heart issue. It's not a money issue. It's a heart issue. And Paul was saying this, saying, as much as I gave you those six reasons why, I want you to understand I gave you those reasons not so you would have pity upon me, not that you would change what you're doing, not that you would start doing it. How many of us have brought something up, especially as a kid, to hope your parents would get the clue and do what you wanted to do? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you look at me and we never did any of that, and our kids never did that. You know what I'm, you bring something up, or you bring something up with your spouse. Honey, let's just go for a walk downtown. And as we're holding our hands, walking through the wonderful streets of downtown, there's this jewelry store. And there's this beautiful ring sitting in the display. And Lori says to Rich, honey, isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't that look so nice upon my hand? And then we leave in that. The whole time she leaves and walking, she's praying, Lord, help him to get the hint. I want that ring. He needs to get that idea. And this is kind of the idea, a silly illustration to illustrate this point. He's saying that's not what he's doing. He's not bringing this up so he gets his way or he gets someone to give to him. He's bringing this up and he's doing this to illustrate what he's been teaching since chapter 8 and teaching through this, that, hey, my liberty, even though I have it, love trumps it. He says, hey, I haven't done this so I can gain something out of it. I can get something out of it. I've done this for the gospel's sake. Look at verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. He says, I'm doing this because I preach the gospel. He goes, I'm not doing it because I have anything to glory in. I have the ability to preach the gospel because God's given me the ability. But it's not my message that I'm preaching. It's not what I'm proclaiming. It's not the way I'm doing it. It's not the style I'm doing it. Why I'm doing this is because God has entrusted me, or God has made me a steward of the message that he has given me, the message that he's revealed to me. And because he's given me this message, it is my obligation, it is my compulsion to take that message and share that message. But I boast not myself. I'm not boasting in my message. I'm not boasting in my abilities, but I'm boasting in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm boasting in the message that God has given me that changes lives. I don't change lives, Paul's saying, but God's message changes lives. You see what Paul was getting the church there at Corinth to understand? He says, I have the ability to take it, but the reason I'm not taking it is because I understand what has been entrusted to me of preaching the gospel. Do you know what Paul's main concern was? Not padding his pocketbook. You know what Paul's main concern was? Taking the message that changed his life and giving it to others. And that was more important than his liberty, his freedom, that love. You see, we know this, but let's be reminded of this truth this morning. There is a day in Paul's life that Paul was persecuting believers. Paul was against God, against the things of God. Paul had some religion, but he was lost. But Paul was on the road to Damascus when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of him, convicted him, and said, why do you kick against the pricks? And got a hold of him and saved his soul on the road to Damascus. And Paul was forever changed. He was Saul and became Paul because of the change God made. And throughout Scripture, you can see this. Paul never got over what God did for him. Paul never got over how God transformed him and changed him and made the difference in his life. He never got over the hope he had in Christ. He never got over the transformation that took place in his life. He never got over that. And because of that, he was sold out to take that message, and he didn't want to do anything that was going to hinder that message to the lost. For I preach the gospel, not so I can boast in myself, but I preach the gospel so they can hear the message. Here's an application. We got to be very careful the way we do things, that we don't glorify man and when we're saying we're trying to glorify God. I want to be very careful. I don't have this problem, so it's good. But some speakers are very good and gifted at speaking, and they have a nice, smooth tongue, and they never stammer over words, and they never mispronounce words. And some of you say, well, that would be nice one day. And you, that... You're is coming, little lady. And, you know, it would be nice. But you know what? One of the reasons, that was awesome. One of the reasons, I believe, if you notice, a lot of preachers don't have that, is because what does it do? It takes us out of the equation. It takes us out of it. Why? Because I'll tell you, there's sometimes I preach a message and I thought, that's the worst message I've ever preached in my life. Lord, I was prayed up. Lord, I was studied up. Lord, I've done all this. What is going on? And then that's the biggest response is, hey, God worked, use that message. God did this. God did that. Wait a second. Why? Because it takes us out of the equation of it. And Paul says, I'm going to do everything to take myself, remove myself from the gospel, so the gospel is presented, not Paul presented. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Not us presented, but the gospel of Jesus Christ presented. Not the church presents, but Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ. Not just a message of a church or a religion or a denomination or a group, but it's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not this person giving the message, but it's God giving the message. I pray every Sunday, Lord, not my words. Before I even come out here, I say, Lord, I don't want my words. I want your words. Lord, I want your message. Lord, I want what you have to say. No one needs to hear what I have to say. Who cares what I have to say? But Lord, we want to hear from heaven this morning. We want to hear God's message this morning. We need the truth that God is going to give us and pierce our hearts and work in our lives. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul says, I'm preaching this message, and this is not my message. It's not a message for me to find glory in myself. It's me to glorify my God. He was not boasting either in these verses of his commitment to God. You know what? Paul saw himself as unworthy, but he thanked God that God called him to the gospel ministry. Do you know, not all of us are preachers, but we're all preachers, by the way. We ought to be all proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we look at that, we need to see ourselves as Paul did. I'm unworthy. You are unworthy to be called to take the gospel message. But we have to thank God that he saw us and wants to use us. That was Paul's heart. Paul says, I'm not worthy to do this. But Lord, thank you for calling me to do this because I want to do this for you. I'm not worthy. I have my own issues. Paul says, I have my own sins. Paul called himself chief sinner. Paul says, I do those things I shouldn't do, and I do those things, don't do the things I ought to do. And he fought with that in Romans and went back and forth, and there's many times. But he says, I still, even though I'm unworthy, even though I'm not worthy to do this, Lord, thank you for allowing me to take the gospel. It's not me boasting about how committed I am. I'm boasting about the privilege I have to be a steward of your word. Let me help you take, Lord, help me take that message that you entrusted in me and let me give it out. But also look at verse 17. For if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Lord, I preach it because of what you've done in my life. I preach it because I don't want to glory myself. I want to boast the name of Jesus Christ. But I'm doing it willingly. I'm not forced to preach the gospel. Do you know what Paul was saying? I want people to see my motives behind of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And he was willing to preach the gospel because of love he had for God and for people. You see, why he was preaching was not because someone came up to him and twisted his arm and says, Paul, you need to do this, and you better get on board, and you better start doing this. He says, if I do it because I'm forced to, I already have my reward. If I'm doing it to gain man's favor, then I already have my reward. If I'm doing it to build up treasures here on this earth, then I already have my reward. If I'm doing it because I'm forced to do it, then I already have it. That's why I tell you, I'm very careful. I try to be very careful. I want people to serve. I want people to give. I want people to do the basic Bible things that we ought to be doing. But I don't want to force anyone to do those. Because you can force someone to do it and not be doing it, and you already have your reward. You see, the reason that we do those things is not to build up treasures here on this earth, but to build up treasures in heaven. And Paul says, I'm doing this willingly out of love for God, not because I'm forced to serve God. You ever made someone do something? What happens when you make someone do something? And you've been in a place where you're the boss, the manager, and you had employees underneath you. And you had someone that didn't always do what they were supposed to do. And you gave them the ultimatum. Either you do it or you're gone, buddy. All right? What has happened sometimes? Sometimes they're forced to do it, they do it. But do they really do it? How many of you forced your kids to do something and they do it because you tell them to do it? They do their chores because you force them. Now, what's the difference when your kids actually love mom and dad as they should and they do the chores? What's the difference in the quality? All right, let's give this idea. How many of you tell your kids they need to make their beds and clean their bedrooms? All right, how many of you have to force your kids? If you don't clean your room, there's discipline that's going to come. And they clean their room to a point. The bed cover is thrown over. It's not nice, but it's thrown over. The trash is underneath the bed, not in the trash can, but you don't see it. The closet, you better not open the door because everything's going to fall out on top of you when you're forced to do it. Some of you are laughing because you know this is true. And you do this. And then what happens? When the kid's heart gets right, and the kid loves mom and dad and loves God, and because they love God, they're going to serve and listen to mom and dad and obey mom and dad and do those things. There's a difference. The bed is nice and crisp. You could even bounce a quarter off of it. The shoes are nicely lined up and beautiful. There's no trash under that. You say, well, what weird world are you living in? I've never had a kid do that. This is just an illustration, all right? Now, here's the idea. There's a difference between being forced to take the gospel and willingly preach the gospel. That's what Paul was saying. And Paul says, I'm willing to preach the gospel because I understood what God did for me. None of us should be forced to take the gospel. Every one of us ought to look at that privilege to take the gospel. I tell you, we ought to be encouraged to do so. But I don't want to force anyone. Well, let me give an illustration. You know, there's some churches that will give out gift cards, will give out this and that if you share the gospel with so many people. But they even go a step further. If you win so many people to the Lord. Wait a second. We ought not to be bought to preach the gospel. We ought to take the gospel willingly and freely to this lost and dying world and have a love for it. He says, I preach the gospel. And he says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. His right to take or not to take, he didn't want to be a burden. He says, I'm doing this without charge, so I'm not a burden upon this church. But we can freely take the gospel and share the gospel as an individual and as a church, and it's not going to take harm. Now, I want to say this. I believe there is times that we need to be careful what we do in our personal lives because that would hinder the working of God. What do you mean? Well, we all understand this concept that we are to give so the gospel can be taken. We do that through missions, missionaries. Now, some give over and above their tithe to missions. Some do it separately and put it for missions. It's all different ways, but the idea is we give to missions. And we give to that. Do you know there's people today say, well, I don't have it to give it. I don't have it. And sometimes you don't. And the tithe is what we ought to be giving. Missions and other offerings go over and above. I understand that. But I was talking to someone the other day, not part of this church, someone else, and they said they don't give to missions anymore because they're not able to do so. And I said, okay, why? They said, well, we just don't have the funds. But I know this individual goes to a local coffee place here, which I wouldn't go to, Dutch Brothers, because they don't have enough sugar-free options. But Moxie does, by the way. But I still don't want to pay $7 for a cup of coffee. So I make them at home. But they spend weekly $30 to $45 a week on a coffee. Now, Caitlin, I'm going to put you on a spot. Caitlin works at that nasty place called Dutch Brothers. How much is a medium cup of coffee, a basic, with the foo-foo stuff in it and all that other? Okay, so $5 or $6 for a medium. How many people do you see on a regular basis? And if you're working several days in a row, that some of them come back on a regular basis? Quite a few, right? Think about that. But we can't give them to missions? We can't give to that? DoorDash. Let's just get practical today. All right. Some of you go, what's DoorDash? DoorDash is a thing you can do on your phone or app. And now instead of companies having delivery services, back in the old days you could get, you know, delivery. Now those companies don't have their own vehicles. Some of the pizza places still do, but a lot of the other places don't. And you pay this. But now you're paying, did you know this too? DoorDash prices are actually more than what you pay if you go in. Not talking their fees, just a regular price. So if you order McDonald's, it's like a dollar more per thing on their site than it is if you actually go to McDonald's. Then you pay the fees and you pay this other stuff. And by the time you're done, what you could go, if you weren't lazy, and you could go and get it yourself for $20, you're now paying $45. All right? Wow. That's a well use of money. And so you do that. Now, I understand there's some occasions and some times for that. But we can't afford to give. We can't afford to give to God. We can't afford to give to the missions. And Paul is saying, I want you to understand that my reward is this, that I'm taking the gospel, that I'm not going to hinder the gospel by taking money because I want to further what God wants me to do. But also, he says, the reason why is he preaches the gospel, but the reason why is because the influence the gospel makes. The influence the gospel makes. Look at verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Paul says, in a sense, he looks at himself as a slave because he wants to influence more people for the name of Jesus Christ. He wants the primary purpose of his life, of his liberty, not to make himself good, but to present and promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm taking my liberty, and I'm not going to allow my liberty in the way, but I want to see more people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understand that I have an obligation to the gospel, but I understand that if I can do this, if I can further the gospel, if I can allow my liberties to take a back seat, that I can see more people hear the good news of Jesus. Do you know we need to take the message? And so we can let other people hear that message. Paul says, I'm enslaved to them. I'm doing this because I have an obligation to them. Paul talked about this in Romans. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He says, I'm obligated. He says, I'm obligated to the message of Jesus Christ. And he's saying this in 1 Corinthians. He's saying, I am doing this so more people can hear. What are some things I need to do so more people can hear the gospel? What do I need to do in my life so I can present the gospel to more? Paul says, this is why I'm not taking this, because I'm afraid if I take it, it's going to hinder me. It's going to hinder the message. It's going to hinder the influence. Because if some people find out I take money, they're not going to want to hear the message that I'm going to give them. That's what Paul's saying. Now, Paul is teaching this. Why? Because he says, I don't want to be a stumbling block. Do you know, I got to be careful what I do in my life, because I never know who that person is, and there could be a day that I could come up to that person and witness to that person. And if I did something wrong, what's that going to do to the influence I have when I share the gospel? Let me give a case in point. The other day, Steve Burke cut off somebody. And Steve Burke didn't even realize it. I'm going to give him the credit, benefit of the doubt. Didn't realize he cut someone off. He cut someone off. But say it wasn't me. But then a couple days later, he came across this person. And he started talking about person about the gospel. Now, Steve Burke as an individual is hard to forget once you see him. I mean, just look at his beard, look at him. That's a face only mother could, I mean, a face you would never forget. Now, what would that do to the influence of the gospel? Wait, you're the one that cut me off. Why am I going to listen to your message? What's that? Yeah, probably because I was going too slow. I've never had a tick in my record, by the way. But it's the message. So here, I don't know how we got on this side note. But the truth is this. Would I listen to Steve if I knew he was the one that cut me off? If I knew someone in this church did ill business and cheated some way, and then I go and witness, and then that person comes and witness, what does that do to the gospel? This is the same concept of what Paul was saying. He's saying, I'm careful what I'm doing, because I don't want to hinder the gospel, because I want to be able to take the gospel to more people. And I want to be able to go to Rex and share the gospel with him. And Rex say, well, who do you think you are to share the gospel with me? I know what you do. I'm not going to listen to you. I want to be able to go to the person at Walmart. I want to go to the person here and there and witness and share the gospel. Now, I have to be honest. I'm going to tell myself for a moment. I've worked on this. I have a hard time. And we don't go to restaurants a lot for several reasons. But one of the reasons we don't go to restaurants is I don't like bad service. I worked in the industry, and I know what should be done. And I hate going, and they don't do it. And there's the time that I used to vocalize that a little more. But my wonderful wife reminded me, and now you're going to take a track and give it to them. Don't say that to me. But truthfully, if I was not kind in that, how could I take out a tract? How could I say, well, now here, I just yelled at you, and I just told you how terrible you are, but let me give you this, and let me invite you to church today and give that to you. Oh, wow. How is that going to promote the gospel? How is that going to take the gospel? And Paul's saying, you know what? I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this so I have the opportunity to share the gospel, God's message, with this world. And nothing is going to hinder that working. And I'm going to be able to do it freely because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to allow myself to get in the way of taking the gospel message. But Paul also mentions three ways in which he adapted. You see, Paul said, I preach the gospel. Paul says, I want to promote the gospel. He preaches it. He wants to promote it. But he also wants to persuade these individuals to see the truth. How does he persuade them? Now, that word we got to be careful of, because sometimes we think that means compromise. But Paul's not compromising here. Paul's not tricking them into things. What does Paul say? Paul says this as he's talking about this for the gospel's sake. And this, he says, verse 23, this I do for the gospel's sake. Now back up, he says, verse 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. Being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul says, when I'm with the Jew, as long as it doesn't go against biblical principles and against biblical teachings, I'm going to obey what they're doing, so I don't offend them. That's what Paul says. He goes, when I'm with the Gentile, as long as I'm not going to do anything that compromises the gospel or weakens the gospel or goes against the commandments of God, then I'm going to go with what they're doing and what they're having so I can present the gospel to them. He's not saying I'm going to compromise. He's not going to say I'm going to go to a bar to witness to someone. He's not saying that. What he's saying is I am doing things that, as long as it doesn't go against the Bible, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. If I'm with the Jew, I'm not going to eat the meat. If I'm with the Gentile, I eat the meat. If I'm here, I'm there. It's not going against biblical principles and compromising and changing because of that. It's understanding the situation and understanding the people and say, you know what, as Paul, I have the liberty to eat meat. But if I'm around someone that can't eat meat, doesn't want to eat meat, it's not going to hurt my walk with God to not eat the meat. So I'm not going to eat the meat so I can be a witness and a testimony to that Jew. You know what? I'm with the Gentile. And they want to go ahead and have meat. We're going to eat meat. I'll feast on that meat. Because that's not going to hinder my walk with God. He says, to the weak. He says, if I'm with the weak, I'm going to be very careful that I'm not going to do things that I think is okay for me as a mature believer to do. Now, we got to be careful because sometimes we use that trump card and say, well, I'm more mature, so I can handle things you can't handle. That's not what he's talking about here. He's saying, but if I'm around the weak, even though there's some things that don't go against the Word of God, and if it doesn't go against the Word of God, I could normally do, but I'm going to be very careful that I'm not going to do it around them because I'm not there to cause them to stumble. I'm there to present the gospel to them. He says, I'm going to persuade them in the sense that I'm going to live within the bounds of Scripture, but I'm going to be careful that I don't use my liberty to cause them to stumble, and I'm going to live in a way that I'm purposely not trying to offend them. Do you know there are some cultures that have different ways of doing things around here? This is to give you an illustration. And do you know what? Their culture says they do this and they partake of this and they do this. Now, none of those things go against Scripture. So if I'm with them, guess what? I can go along with that because it doesn't go to Scripture. Now, there's some things they can't do. You know what? I don't have to do it. Now, I'm going to give an illustration, and everyone in here, you may have a different opinion on this. I don't think there's anything wrong with eating pork. Now, I know some people have some thoughts. I understand the pork to some doesn't have the things to clean it when it goes down in the food, and I understand all the concept. I understand the whole thing, and that's fine. You can have your view, and I can have my view. Doesn't matter. But if I come to your house and you don't eat pork, I shouldn't bring a pork roast. I shouldn't bring ham. I shouldn't bring bacon. Ooh, that's a hard one. But I shouldn't do that. Why? Because why am I going to take something which I know is going to offend you that doesn't really matter in my life? If I'm going to eat bacon, I can eat bacon at home. I don't have to eat bacon at your house. That's what he's saying there. I'm not there to offend. I'm not there to take this. I'm there to present the gospel. And that's what he's saying. I'll become a Jew. I'll become a Gentile. I'll become as the weak, because I'm not going to do things that are purposely going to take people away from the gospel. I'm going to do everything within my power and my ability to take people to the gospel. That's what Paul was saying. He says, I've given you reasons why I have not taken this, because the gospel is what matters in my life. My life doesn't really matter. My agenda doesn't really matter. My feelings, my emotions, my whatever doesn't really matter. What matters is the gospel. What matters is I preach it. What matters is I promote it. What matters is I persuade it, that I take it and I share it and I let people know about the truth of God. And I don't let my liberty get in the way. Well, guess what? I can eat pork if I want to eat pork. They just got to get over it. That's the wrong attitude. Well, I don't eat cheese, and I don't eat dairy, and I don't eat that thing. So this is the other side of it. Brother Dick eats cheese, and he eats dairy. I do too, but he eats all those things. The other side is this. If he knows I don't eat that, and I know he doesn't eat it, I'm respectful of that, because, again, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference of that. And what Paul was trying to get him to say is, what is the fight's over, and what you guys are feuding over, and the reason the gospel's not being hindered, and the reason things aren't doing your so-called Christian liberty, is getting in the way of what really matters in life. Because guess what's going to happen to Corinth? Is Corinth going to get better because they eat meat or don't eat meat? No. Do you know this world's not going to get better if we get our agenda or don't get our agenda? But you know how this world changes? You know how Corinth would have changed? You know how this city would change? It's the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the message that changes lives. It's God's precious word that penetrates the heart of a sinner and brings him to the place of redemption and salvation in Christ Jesus. It's the gospel that changes life. It's the power of the gospel that makes a difference. Paul is saying you can have your liberties, and your liberties can get in the way. But your liberties aren't going to make a difference. What makes a difference is the message of Jesus Christ. And that message of it. Then he says this. And this I do for the gospel's sake, verse 23, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul wanted everyone else to be a fellow partaker with him. He wanted the church of Corinth to come together for the cause of Christ and the gospel. We need to push our so-called Christian liberties to the side this morning and let love limit our liberties. Our love for God and our love for one another. And stop loving ourselves so much and start loving God and others the way we should. And say, my freedoms, my liberties don't matter. What matters is the gospel. And let's unite together, be partakers together, joint together, to take the gospel into this world and see people come to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, We love you.